So last week was wonderful, wonderful time in the Word and with the prayers for you, the body of Christ, for all of us together. Now the Lord, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, begins to get into the particulars of the body of Christ in such an intimate way. I mean, he uses examples that you probably wouldn't think of yourself. You know, he just comes forth with these examples to explain to us this whole thing. Because, you know, the Bible doesn't say that we're like the body of Christ. It says we are. We are the body of Christ. And I've always seen that actually our organization here is not a corporation. It's an organism. It's an absolute organism. And we are working together with Jesus every way, every day. And as we're a part of his body, we're of course part of the larger body worldwide. And it is such a great thing. I'll never forget the first time we met a Christian from England, and we were in Pennsylvania at the time. And I thought, man, this guy's just like us, exactly like us. I mean, it was like a revelation to me. But you know, the Christians around the world that love the Lord are just so alike, and I think Louis and Cheryl would know that maybe best of all because they're missionaries and been all over the world and stuff. But, you know, it's just true. God does these mighty works in and through all of us. And, of course, the devil's always there to condemn us and make us feel bad about ourselves and like we don't belong and all kinds of lies like that. But you have to rebuke those things in the name of Jesus and jump on board and just be who you are in the body of Christ. Yeah, amen. I got a guy in the back row going, amen, brother. So let's begin reading here. It says, now all these, that is those gifts we've been studying of the Spirit that God gives to each one of us, all these work that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. And so it is God that gives gifts to people to fit into the body of Christ just right. He's the one that does that. And he chooses which gifts and how those would be administrated and how they are different from others and in just the right ways. So it's always him. He's the head. And, you know, I just love that idea as a pastor. Jesus Christ is the head of the body. And that makes him the brains of the operation. Hallelujah. Because, man, I don't have the brains to do what I do. I really don't. I mean, it's God. You know, I saw a guy speak one time, and we were all excited to hear him speak because he was from the Pentagon, and he was really high up in the space program at the time, and he was just real impressive with a big title, and he came from Washington, D.C. to talk to a group of men, and there he was. And you know what he said? He said, you know why God gave us brains? To choose him and his direction for our lives. And man, that was such a liberating thought from this really high IQ smart guy. You know, he figured it out. And I love that. I love that. We just give our lives over to the Lord and let him do what he wants to do with us. And it turns out good every time because it's God. God is the brains of the operation. And that is so liberating for me every time I go to an elders meeting of the church. The responsibility does not fall on my shoulders to make this thing work. But God has been doing his own work for 40 years now. I remember for so many times thinking, well, I wonder if we'll be here next week. You know, year after year after year. And here I am older. I've got gray hair. I just turned 70 years old. And God's still doing it, and it's blowing me away. But he's the brains, and he's so smart. He's the smartest guy that ever lived. Yeah, and I'm so glad, and I'm so proud of Jesus Christ, aren't you? We're just proud of him. He's the one. So he gives to each one of us severally as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, and all are the members of one body, being many are one body, so also is Christ. And so he wants to now solidify in our hearts that we're one. We are one body. And we're all looking to Jesus to be our director, our leader, and follow his direction and put us together just right. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Well, that's the truth. We're all different. Do you ever notice how different you are from the person next to you, even a husband or wife? Man, sometimes it's hard to figure the wife out or hard to figure the husband out sometimes because they're different. Everybody's different. And but we're one. Now the Lord gets into particulars right now, and this is where I wanted to get to in this first section of Scripture. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. In other words, we never want to get into narrow vision and to put other people aside by saying, you know what, I'm just me, and I do what I do, and I'm very individual, and I'm going my own way. And so, you know, I'm the hand. And I say to you, Mr. Foot, leave me alone, because I'm not part with you. It's not right. I mean, imagine if your body, your physical body, started saying stuff like that. You know, it's time for you to walk. But your foot's decided to just say, I'm not carrying you around anymore. I'm not part of the body. I'm just going to not walk anymore. Or your hand says, you know, I refuse to do this when I'm speaking, you know, and to be part of who you are. That's not good. And so the Lord's making this analogy. He says, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No, no way, still part of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, the Lord makes this point, I think he's getting kind of humorous here now. If the whole body were an eye, just imagine if you were just one giant eyeball and you're sitting here tonight, just a big eyeball in the pew with the rest of the people that have everything else. Where were the hearing? You can't hear anything. You can just look. The whole body were hearing, where's the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And that's the good part, and that's the part we take solace in. God's really good at it. He gives gifts severally as he wills, and he places me in the body of Christ as it has pleased him, where he knows I should be. And he knows where you should be in the body of Christ. And the verse 19 is the last verse we want to read before we kind of sum up this section. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? You see? So the Lord is making a point now here, and he's really going to lengths to do this. I mean, he really is, to make up this whole thing about eyes and ears and so forth and saying these things to really let us know we really have to be careful to accept the whole body, to learn to accept and appreciate them even though they're different than you. Something that I have seen growing up in the church through the years is that certain folks will get jealous or disconcerted about other parts of the body of Christ that have gifts that they don't. And so instead of saying, praise the Lord, they have gifts that I don't, but they're a vital part of the body of Christ. But instead of doing that, they seek to come up with teachings to put that part of the body down and say they're off the wall. They're going south. They're not doing it right. where, you know what? God's much bigger than that, you guys. He really is way bigger than that. And he wants to engulf all of the believers in Jesus Christ. And he wants to fit us together, not cause us to not be accepting of other parts of the body and saying actually hurtful, mean things about each other. And that happens. I've been on both sides of that. You know, I've been on both sides of that as a pastor of Calvary Chapel Anaheim. I remember, man, I went to a, what was it? Was it to a marriage? I can't remember if it was a funeral or a wedding, but we were at a reception, and there was another church that all of a sudden, for some reason, started hating Calvary Chapels. And I sat down, and I was so happy to be there, and I was looking at smiling Christians at the table I was with, and my wife, Sherry, and I were together. And they said, oh, well, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Calvary Chapel, Anaheim. And Sherry and I have been called the pastor of that church. And they just went totally cold. I couldn't believe it. Just, whoa, we're not talking to you anymore. I was so despised and rejected. And, you know, I think it was sharing in the fellowship of the suffering of Christ. And I thought, what is going on? How does this happen? But it does. And so I think the Lord really wants us to be mindful of this kind of thing and say, look, just learn to accept the whole body of Christ and rejoice in what God is doing through these different churches, these different organizations throughout the whole world. He is so big. I mean, wouldn't you expect him to be? If God is God of everyone, is he just going to choose a little glitch somewhere and just stick to them? Well, I heard an old joke years ago that there was a certain denomination that were teaching that only they go to heaven. And so St. Peter is showing someone around heaven and said, shh, as we go by here, because this certain denomination that believes they're the only ones here. And you know, it's funny, but sometimes that's the way it is. And so we really have to be careful of divisive talk, of putting down things we don't understand, or just because we can't do it doesn't mean people can't do it, you know? Come on. God is way bigger than that. And so there it is. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. Now, this is how this whole book began. I'm just going to give a review. We go back to 1 Corinthians 3. I mean, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 is what I mean. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. Got this great big clumsy Bible because I left my Bible here at church. So I'm using a different Bible tonight. But we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm sorry. What is going on here? Okay. Chapter 3. Yep. And verses 1 through 9. That's where I was getting confused. Okay. So it says this. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal Christians, that is worldly type Christians. You're not acting very spiritual because you're kind of in a worldly state of mind. Even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For are you not yet still worldly or carnal, kind of like what they do in the world? For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal or worldly and walk as men? For while one says, I'm of Paul, I like Paul the best, Paul's the best. And another says, no, well, I'm of Apollos. No, Apollos is way better than Paul. Paul's just not getting it. Apollos is way better. Are you not yet carnal? Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't be having a party spirit in that this guy loves Jesus, but he's just not my type, and I don't like him, and I'm not going to listen to him. But I'm for the other guy. And so the Apostle Paul reasons here, and it's the Lord speaking to us. Who then is Paul, or who is Apollos, but ministers of whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I planted, and Apollos watered. He's doing a different job than I am. I'm doing one job, and he's doing another with the body of Christ. We're different. I planted, Apollos watered. But we always have to remember this part. God gave the increase. It's the Lord. God's using these two different brothers to do different things to cause the body to grow and to be blessed. And so he says, God gave the increase. So then neither is he that plants anything, neither is he that waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he that plants and he that waters are one. And so here's this idea again. Please see yourself as one and work together. Get shoulder to shoulder and do it together. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. He's the head. Always look to him. You are God's husbandry, or a great big planting. You're the planting of the Lord. You are God's building. And he builds us up spiritual stones into a spiritual building. And that's what he's doing. And he wants to do that. And the devil's near dead trying to get us at each other's throats, you know, over some stupid thing. And to really mess everything up. Now, I want to give you a real positive example of the body of Christ in action from last week. I'm so blessed with the 4th of July here at our church and just enjoying the body of Jesus Christ. Now, when there's a big event coming and I'm kind of in charge of it, if you want to put it that way, I have to remember that I'm not in charge of it. God's in charge of it because he's the brains. Remember, I don't have any brains. God has the brains. And he puts it together and brings it together. And so last week, when the 4th of July came, I saw that I had nothing to worry about. That I could have just walked totally in peace about the whole event because God used other people, you guys, in the body of Christ, to do this extremely wonderful, blessed event that God did with things that I'm not really anointed to do. And so I mentioned first Donna and Josh. You know, Donna's right there, and Josh helped her out last week with the worship. But it was just wonderful. And God brought all of that worship time together that just lifted us up. There's Steve and Dennis. I think of Pastor Steve. He is the world-class organizer of all time in my mind. You know, he had things just set up out here, and him and Dennis worked together hard. Dennis looked really bad when I got here's Dennis right here. When I got to church on the 4th, finally, when I walked in, because he'd worked all day with this thing that you baptize in, and his hair was all sweating like a... But it was such a blessing to see him there, you know. What a great worker for God. And so Steve and Dennis had done it all. It was all set up. The water was in the tub, and it's time. And when it was time for me to baptize people, it was just right there. And then Alex and Magali, those guys are so anointed of the Lord. They are so anointed. They're the ones that decorate the stage, and you're going to see some world-class decoration again for Vacation Bible School. It'll be starting to go up here in not long from now. But they had the whole deal organized like a horseshoe out there. There's two bounce houses for the kids. And Alex had a little sound booth set up that he was playing Christian music from, you know, as we ate hot dogs. And then there was Danny. Danny, who was cooking the hot dogs with Alex, and that was all done. I mean, I came hungry and I was ready to eat and my hot dog was ready. That's the body of Christ. People doing things that they were called to do to bring it together. And then Dan and Becky, Dan's not feeling well tonight. He called me and said he couldn't make it tonight, but him and Becky made this world-class apple thing, and I had three of them, man. I couldn't believe I had three of them, and I'm on a diet. I mean, gee. with ice cream on top, and it was just so good, and it was a blessed thing. And then when we had our prayer time, I was nervous about that. I'll be honest with you, it's a fireworks celebration and so forth, but we were right in the scriptures of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and Acts chapter 2, and that's God's fireworks. His fire fell from heaven and anointed the disciples, and they spoke with other tongues, and this was a passion then that grew in me to happen. And it was so blessed. I called Pastor Bill on the phone. I said, Pastor Bill, can you and Terry come and help us pray for people in the congregation to receive the Holy Spirit? And he said, yes. And then James and Christy, we of course asked them, and they came too. And Steve and Shannon were here. All the pastors were here with their wives to pray. It was just a most precious time. And I was just reveling in the body of Christ, wanting to lay hands with pastoral authority and anointing called by God to receive the Holy Spirit, to give the Holy Spirit and the gifts and ministries of those here at church. And it was just wonderful. And so I've just named a few of the people in the body of Christ that needed to be here last Wednesday night, because I was a nervous wreck. Because, I let the burden of the vision, I get this vision from God, I just want to get it done. And then I tend to just take it all on myself, just this big heavy burden. And instead of allowing God to do what he's envisioned and using me as part of the operation. And I have to keep telling myself that and reminding myself of that, that this is God's gig. He started this church 40 years ago, and he has kept it going, and it is a miracle. It is a miracle that any two people can live together in unity for 5 minutes. That's a miracle of God. I've seen that again and again. I mean, people are just different. They just think different. They just... And it's like trying to herd cats, to get things to work. But God, and his sweet Holy Spirit that comes upon his body and begins to use different people to be organizers and do these things. I want to encourage all of you to just find your place in the body of Christ. It's the most blessed thing you could ever do. And just enjoy it. Enjoy it. Never become a loner. Never dislocate yourself or allow the devil to dislocate you from part of the body of Christ where you can function and use your gifts. It is a gift from God. The body of Christ is beautiful. There's even a song by Twyla Paris. When the boys first brought Twyla Paris into our house and she was singing rock and roll music, and I thought, turn off that devil music, I yelled at them. And they said, Dad, this is Christian music. And then I began to love Twyla Paris, and Charles and I use her a lot at weddings. She sings a song, How Beautiful is the Body of Christ. How beautiful. And it's so true. The body of Christ is beautiful. And if you can picture yourself a part of a beautiful thing, there's an old song, and I love it, and I remind you of it so often, something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. I mean, we get confused. But all my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. And that is what he's about. And it's awesome what God can do with this idea. Now, I have a couple of negative examples, too, on the other side of it. There was this one brother that kind of got prideful in his ministry. He was a missionary and went to other countries and did mission work. And he was part of our first Bible study years ago. And he got somehow in his head that he was going to come back to a reunion of our Bible study and just tell everybody in those uncertain terms that if you don't get on the mission field, you're not saved. And it was really, really hard on all of us. You know, you haven't gone to another country. You're just no good. You're no good. And kind of, it was kind of a prideful, pushy presentation that he brought to our little group and just hurt a lot of people. And it was just hard. And I think, you know, we have to be careful of that kind of spirit of to just not be accepting the whole body of Christ, that some are goers and some are senders, some are talkers and some don't talk. But in a very beautiful way, they do what they're called to do. And we have to just take these exhortations that we see, as the Lord says, you know, if the foot says, because I'm not the hand, then how's that go again? Yeah, as the foot says that I'm the foot and you're the hand and I don't have any part to do with you, but you need the hand. Don't you notice how your hands go to any place you hurt when your body gets hurt? Your knee, let's say you fall and stub your knee. Is that what you do to a knee? You don't stub your knee, you stub your toe, but you break your knee, right? But what's the first thing your hands do? I'm going to help my knee. I'm going to hold it up. I'm going to see what's wrong. And I'm going to look at it with my eyes and see what's wrong with my knee. The body is designed to work together. And if you have a toothache, this. And those kinds of things. And if we're not in that attitude with each other, then we're off base and we're missing it. And God doesn't want us to miss it. Amen? Amen. Let's go back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we want to get another section of discussion that the Lord wants us to know about body life. So we go back to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and we start reading now in verse 20 because we read to verse 19 already. Now it says, but now are they many members, yet one body, and the eye, this is kind of the opposite of what we've been talking about. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. You can't say that to someone else. I don't have any need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble. Now just listen carefully to this. There's some people that you say, yeah, he's a Christian, but the guy is, he's got bad brains or something. He's feeble. But he says, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary for you. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. If they seem to be less honorable, it's up to us to bestow upon them more abundant honor. And I'll give you an example about this in a minute. And our uncomely parts or our unbeautiful parts of the body have more abundant comeliness or beauty, because more honor has been given to them. For our comely parts have no need. You don't need to go around behind someone that's got it all and say, you know, you need some more honor, because they are already desirable and comely in the body of Christ. Our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. Yeah. That there should be no schism in the body. Doesn't want division. Doesn't want the putting down and saying, I have no need of you. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or when one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So we need each other, even those parts that we think are feeble, those parts that don't seem necessary. We need each other to properly function as a body. Now, years ago, God gave me an example. This, I think, kind of clears it up for us. Imagine that you're in a chemistry class and you have three beakers. And here's one beaker and two beaker and three beaker. Now, God gives each one of us gifts severally as he wills. And let's say this first beaker has these many gifts, and it just fills up the beaker about this far. Then this next beaker, he's got more gifts and more honors and more comeliness or beauty about him or her. So about half full. And then you've got the beaker over here that has a whole bunch of, I mean, just ripping gifts. You know, they can sing and dance and teach, and I mean, it's just, they're just, you know, whoa, look at this guy go. So he's got a whole bunch and almost to the top of the beaker. Now, what does God do? According to these scriptures we just read, very simply, he takes this big, what I always pictured as a Kool-Aid pitcher from the old commercials, you know, like this, with a spout, and is filled with honor. And he takes that thing, and he tops off the guy that's got all those gifts, just a little bit, with honor. And then the next guy, he's got to fill up half of the thing to get him up to the same level as the guy over here. And this guy over here has this much. And the Lord just goes, glug, 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 glug. And this is God's will. And this is what God does. This is what these scriptures are saying to me. I know it seems simple, but that's what it looked like. And I thank God this week because the Lord gave me an example. Anybody know who Joni Erickson is? Joni Erickson Tada. She, years ago, as a young girl, she became paralyzed from the neck down. She was just, I forget it. Did she fall out of a tree?
Diving.
Diving, yeah, she was diving, just like Greg in our church, you know, Greg Burrell, diving and broke her neck. So totally unable to do anything. She couldn't use her hands. But in the course of time, as she sought the Lord and was a strong believer, God gave her the ability to paint with her mouth. And she would take the paintbrush in her mouth and actually make Christmas cards. And they were beautiful. She began to do such artwork, she became famous and well known. And I would call that the picture of honor, wouldn't you? As God was honoring her talents and her gifts and lifting her up. And she became a conference speaker because here she is paralyzed from the neck down, and every day somebody else had to get her out of bed. Somebody else had to take her to the bathroom. Somebody else had to get her food for her. And yet God gave her a blessed spirit and a beautiful ministry. And she began to be more and more in demand. And now she's 50 years old and she's married. I thought she would never get married because she was too damaged. But this guy fell in love with her, and so that's why she's called Joni Erickson Tada, because Tada is the last name of her husband. And she has lived and loved the Lord and a husband and been blessed like the rest of us. God making up the difference. And so I heard her on the radio last week on Dr. Dobson, and she was just precious. I mean, that's all you can say, because her spirit is soaring with Jesus Christ. And Dr. Dobson very respectfully asked her what she could say about heaven to the listening audience. And she said, oh, I'd have to come back and do a whole show on that one to talk about heaven. But she's so respected in the Christian community. We've got our Christian leaders asking her what she has to say on Christian subjects. And that to me is God keeping his word. And you know what? God always keeps his word. And so wherever you are in the mix, wherever your beaker is, don't worry about it. God's going to go ahead and fill up your beaker to the top, because you're his and you belong to him. And you are a vital, vital, important part to the body of Jesus Christ. Yes, you are. Every single one of you are so important to him. And he is letting us know in no uncertain terms with this teaching. He didn't have to give us this lengthy teaching about the body of Christ and talking about the members and telling us that we should never say, I have no need of someone else. Oh no, he's given the exact opposite. I'd like to turn to you to 1 Thessalonians 5:14 on this subject. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:14. This scripture has always been a scripture that God uses in my own ministry to help me with other people. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now that is with all the T's. The T's in the New Testament begin with 1 and 2 Thessalonians. So this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. And it says this in the King James. I like the King James the best. That's the translation I use, but I'll give other translations to you too. It says, now we exhort you, brothers, warn them that are unruly. And this is the part of the scripture that is so important for this study. Comfort the feeble-minded. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. Now, another translation of comfort the feeble-minded from a modern translation says, encourage the faint-hearted. Just encourage them. Be an encourager to build them up. Encourage the faint-hearted. And then another translation says, encourage the timid. And we've all been timid at one time or another, where you just feel like you're not worthy, you can't go on, you can't do it. It's like Moses, you know, Lord, I tell my brother to speak because I don't have the words. I'm a man of bad speech. I stutter, kind of thing. He was timid, needed to be encouraged. Encourage the faint-hearted, encourage the timid, comfort the feeble-minded. Just have a compassion for those that know Jesus around you and seem to be, I don't know, not playing with a full deck or that kind of thing. And be encouraging to them. And God will encourage you. And God will use you to bring the truth to these people that he loves so much and died for and can use them and fill up their speakers with honor and using you to do that with him. And that is a great blessing. And that's always touched my heart to be there with that. Then the second thing I'd like to say in this section here before we look at the last section of scripture here is rejoice with those who rejoice. This it can be a litmus test for how your humility is doing. When someone tells you of something that God has done through them, and you just kind of have the temptation to go, yeah, and start thinking things like, why didn't God do that with me? You know, why didn't I go there and not you? And those kinds of selfish, those are normal thoughts that come to humans because we're sinners and we were born bent to sin. But you need to work on, and I need to work on, truly be blessed when someone wants to tell you what God has done. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. And rejoice with those who rejoice. I think this has become most important in my heart, this rejoice with those who rejoice, because of something I recognized in myself. Years ago, this brother that was really close to me, he was instrumental in inviting Sherry and I to go to church the first time together after we were married. And he went to Mexico. And God did this marvelous work through him. And he called me on the phone, and he started sharing with me. And you know, I just felt jealous. I felt all those terrible things. And I got, the Lord just gave me this scripture. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Just be blessed that God is being glorified. That God has touched my brother or my sister with this awesome experience with him. And I should just join right in rejoicing and thanking God for it. And it was kind of a exhortation for me. And so whenever I get to these scriptures, I'd like to bring that up because it's something I think that God wants to do in all of us, is to learn how to weep with those who weep. And yes, truly rejoice with those who rejoice. You know, an example, I guess, that is a big example is Warren, Rick Warren, out here at Saddleback Church. Man, he's really taken the heat through the years from a lot of folks. And I know, I actually sat with him on the stage at the Harvest Crusade 1 year. And he was asked to go to the Obama inauguration. And the big deal was, you don't pray in the name of Jesus. Oh yeah, courts had decided you don't pray in the name of Jesus because you want to be more ecumenical. It wasn't politically correct, you know, to really come out with the name of Jesus, but Rick Warren got up there and prayed in the name of Jesus in 4 languages. I was so proud of him, I can't even begin to tell you, for just being bold like that, stepping out there and just letting people know it's all about Jesus. And it is a wonderful thing. And, you know, I think, why do people pick on him like they do? Lighten up. Will you just lighten up and let the body of Christ be the body of Christ? You know, it just is sad to me. Another one is Joel Osteen. Man, I love listening to Joel Osteen, and I feel like I got to sneak and do it, but I don't think I'm going to do that anymore. I'm letting the congregation know. He's one of my favorite preachers. He's so encouraging. Come on. It's a Barnabas. Anyway, you know, I was getting a lot of that against him, and I was watching him on TV, and he does this pretty much at the end of every service. He says, if you need Jesus, pray with me right now. And he says a sinner's prayer over the air. I mean, come on. Give me a break, will you? Stop picking on these guys. And let's just let them be who they are. They're not the whole thing. Why? Because you're a different part. And they're a different part. But they're being beneficial for the cause of Christ. And we need to stop the strife and the being a sin sniffer and a flesh finder. Yeah, there's people that spend their whole ministry not edifying people, but being a sin finder and a sin sniffer and a flesh finder. Listen, I'm going to sniff out the sin in your life. I'm going to find your flesh, you know. You go, come on, man. Let's edify and build each other up. And let's be happy with what God is doing with each one of us. So, that's where I am. That's what I see in the Word. Okay, let's go on to the last section of Scripture here in 1 Corinthians 12. It says, now we are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then the gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And then it goes on to say, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? No. The answer to all those questions are no. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. In the early years when we started our Bible study in our apartment, this one girl came to the study that her mom was a reporter for the Long Beach, whatever it's called, the Long Beach Bulletin or something. And she wrote an article on us and said that Mark Bove said at his Bible study that you had to speak in tongues in order to be saved. And that was untrue, totally. I never, ever said that because of these scriptures. And when you run into people with that bend, that's not right. We always check everything against the Word. So do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. And so that is very important to know about the gift of tongues. It's a beautiful gift. I'm glad I have it. I've had it for years. I speak in tongues all the time, and I'd love to do it. And I know many of you do too, but don't look down on those that don't have that gift, because not all have that gift. They have a different gift. And so that's been one of the rubs through the years too, is those that didn't have the gift of tongues would tend to say that the gifts were for just the apostles and not for us. And that's terrible, because the gifts are for today. Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And he doesn't take away gifts. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. And he brings them. And so some people will have them, and you rejoice with that. You rejoice with them that have those gifts and accept those in the body of Christ. And so this is what's being brought forth here. Have all the gifts of healing? Have all the gifts speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And this is probably the most important thing of all. And that more excellent way is love. You can have all the gifts, all the ministries that you could ever dream of, but if it's not done with the love of Christ, it's not worth anything. And that's what we'll get next week in chapter 13, the love chapter. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, it says that the body of Christ is fitly joined together. Every sinew, every muscle supplies. to the edifying of the body of Christ, to the building up of the body of Christ in love. And that is the greatest thing. Now abide hope, faith, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And that's what that last verse means. I show to you a more excellent way, and it's the way of love. And so chapter 13, the love chapter, is next week. And that just supersedes all of the gifts. The gifts and the ministries, as when we started studying this chapter, chapter 12, we mentioned to you that it's always and only to help people with. They're not playthings. You don't look for the gifts of the Spirit to just say, hey, look at me, I can speak in tongues. Look at me, I can do this or that. But no, it's to build up one another in love. For the greatest thing that you can do is love. Absolutely love people. And, I think that was Pastor Chuck's biggest legacy. Is that what you call a legacy? That he left. Is that he had such love for the hippies and for the body of Christ all his life that it was like he oozed it. Every time he spoke, he was so filled with the love and the Jesus part of it that it just disarms everything, just disarms anything that we could have against him or what he's doing. And so I show to you a more excellent way. And next week is an exciting study on the love of God. The gifts are great, but man, the love's the best. And it's the whole reason for all the gifts. So let's pray. Let's go ahead and pray together right now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for these studies in the Word, Lord. And Father, we just pray, God, that you would just help us to really love the body of Christ. And Lord, just be open to accept parts of the body of Christ that are doing a different work than us, have a different bend or whatever you want to put it. And Lord, never ever get into that spirit of saying to anyone, I don't need you. That's so hurtful to the person, and it's so disabilitating to all of us. We need each other. And even the feeble parts, the uncomely parts, those that lack beauty or finesse or oratory skill or classiness or whatever you want to call it, Lord, are necessary. And Father, give us compassion to weep with those who weep and to rejoice fully and with great gusto and great meaning with those who rejoice and are blessed by you. Lord, thank you for these things. These things are not accepted in the world. These things are not practiced in the world. But Lord, we as Christians, we want to do it your way, and it's a much better way. It's the way of love. And we thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord, and give you praise and glory and honor and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. If you would desire prayer for anything tonight, don't leave without getting prayed for. Flavio and Dora, could you guys go in the prayer room tonight and pray? Oh, that's great. Good. Okay, so the prayer room's right over there, and we do have free Bibles if you need a Bible, or if you know of a friend that needs a Bible. We're just wanting to get the Word of God out. So there it is. It's the New King James Translation, and so that's a little easier to get started with, you know. So God bless you guys. Continue to lead you and show you what to do next. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.